Hello and welcome to episode 217 of Checkpoint Chat. My name is Alessandro Barbosa and I'm joined by a beardless Matthew Figuera.
I've discovered the secret of youth.
You have.
You just grow a beard.
If you shave
and
10 years.
Goes, wow, look at your beard. And then you shave it and everyone goes, wow, you look like a child.
You look like a baby. Oh,
so smooth.
Baby Matthew. So smooth.
Yeah, but it,
how does it feel? You've already got like such a great shadow going on. So.
I know. I just needed a reset. So for the longest time, like 2 weeks, I was like, ugh, I need to maintain this beard. I don't really want to go see someone.
And then you don't want to buy that beard oil.
And then on a day, I was like, ugh, I'll just shave it off and grow it again.
Did you, with a beard that long, did you just take a razor to it immediately?
So now I've got an electric razor that's trimmed it and then with the normal razor,
Because like a razor straight to that, you would destroy the shit out of that blade before it gets anything done. Like
I actually don't know how people, I mean, I know how people that are before electric razors, but I know modern times how people without electric razors maintain their beard. That you have to go to someone because you can't do that with a normal razor at all.
I know you get these little like electric razors that aren't like, so I'm thinking the razor you have is that one with like the three circles that is a blade.
And it's got a little thing that pops out.
Yes, But now you get these weird ones which look like normal razors, but they're actually electric. Kind of Philips makes one, I think. What? And it's more for maintaining your beard. So they've got like a flat like blade thing and it looks like a normal razor, but if you shave with that you won't get like a close shave, but if you shave it on like long hair it will like maintain the shape of the hair all around and give you like short beard.
I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's like, and you only need to replace the blade like every 6 months or something like that.
Listen, do you have an electric razor or a
I don't, because I don't grow my beard that long.
No, okay, so but you've got an ordinary razor. When you shave, does yours have a battery or not?
No.
Let me tell you. Once you use one of those battery ones, you'll never want to use an ordinary one again.
I've used it before. I like it a lot, but the blades are so expensive.
Like, they are.
blades are like the biggest racket in the world. Like you go to the shop and they're like, oh, here's a new razor with two free blades. It's only 120 rand. You're like, damn, wow. That's not bad. Then you go buy replacement razors. Oh, two blades is 1,000 rand. You're like, what?
Okay,
you're
what happened? I'm not paying that much, but it is expensive.
It's insane. I bought a nice razor the other day and I was like, oh, I want to try something new. This looks nice. And then I saw the refill cartridges and it's literally like, I think 450 rand for three. And I was just like,
But how often do you replace those? Because I'll use the same blade for like 3 months. Because I shave like, do you shave every day?
Sorry,
there's a difference.
3 months?
Yeah, well, how often do you shave? Do you shave daily?
I shave like once a week.
Oh my God, me too. Why are you changing your blade so often?
No, that's insane. 3 months is insane. It must be longer. So blunt by then that it's just hurting you.
No.
Like, I change it maybe every 3 to 4 shaves. I'm changing a razor.
Oh, no.
Like,
no.
Technically, you should be changing every like two. Like,
oh,
a razor does not last long.
Of course, then.
Like,
razor blades are like an illegal drug ring to you.
3 months, though. That is. You're probably cutting the hell out of your face at that point.
I promise I'm not. I don't even get a rash. I don't get sore.
I need to Google this real quick. How long should...
That is hilarious. Because I'm like, they're expensive, but it's like a grudge purchase once a year for me.
Ideally, you should... So we're both kind of wrong. Ideally, you should want to change your razor blade after every 5 to 10 shaves. So I'm changing it way too early. Mm. You're changing it way too late.
I mean, I'm 12 weeks.
Gillette recommends 5 to 7 shaves, but fuck Gillette. They just want you to buy more.
They want more.
But I guess if you're shaving, like sometimes I do the bad thing of I let my beard get too long and then I'm shaving and that fucks the blade completely. Mm. Like if the hair is slightly long. I think this is like if you have a short stubble, you should then.
You should,
You know, because that's not really hectic on the blade. No. So.
I did.
3 months.
Okay, 2 to 3 months. Give me a break. It was funny though because. So Lenska got home from work and I had my beard and then she went to swim and I thought I'm going to shave it off while she's gone. So, sorry. Oh, my throat. So she went.
I love what we both took a sip of our drink at the same time there. So there was just silence on the podcast. Great. Yeah.
Do you take a sip every 3 to 4?
3 to 5 months I take a sip. Yeah.
So she went to swim and she came back and I'd shave. And I thought to me, like you saw pretty soon, you're like, oh my God, you shaved. Okay. But I thought she's going to notice it and be like, oh, you shaved, whatever. Didn't say a word. Okay. So we're like, sit down to have dinner. And every time she talks to me, like makes dead eye contact, like having an intense conversation, I keep smirking because I'm like, she's going to notice. Or like, how has she not noticed? Okay. We do dinner. And her defense, load shedding. Okay. So we're having romantic candlelight escom vibes.
But no, then the power. That's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. But then the power comes back on. And she still doesn't notice. And every time we talk, I keep like smirking because I'm like, how have you not noticed this? Eventually, like 2 hours later, I burst out laughing. I can't anymore. She's like, what's so funny? Like, no, I can't tell you. Because I wanted to see how long it would take her to notice. But she's like, no, you have to tell me. You can't just like laugh at me and then not say anything.
Yeah.
So I said, well, the next time you get a haircut and I don't notice, you're not allowed to be upset with me. And then she looked at me, she's like, when did you get a haircut? And I'm like, oh my God, I shaved my beard. She's like, oh. She didn't even notice. It was hilarious.
Yeah, but it's not like you had a short beard. It was long.
No, but just the best was the mental gymnastics because we both had hectic days. So she was like, where the shit in this day did you find the time to go get a haircut? And also like your hair looks the same.
Yeah, your hair's still poofy, it's like, still no, curly.
She's like, I wonder if anyone at your office will notice, because it was Wednesday, Tuesday, and we only go to the office on Wednesday and Thursday, so I was going to the office on Wednesday. So walk into the office on Wednesday, first person that I talk to, a guy on my team, but I don't really like hang out with him much, but he says like, oh, hey, you shaved your beard. I'm like, right out the gate. Colleague number two, oh, hey, Fake, wow, you shaved your beard.
I hope you message Lenska and like, you see... They all noticed.
Colleague number three is like, oh my God, I'm not talking to you because you didn't get approval for shaving your beard. I'm like, oh my God, everyone's noticed.
To be fair, I didn't notice yours purely because I wasn't looking at Discord for like the first 10 minutes we were on this call. And then the first time I looked, I'm like, whoa, holy shit.
Oh, you didn't go a whole evening. It was hilarious. When did you get your haircut? I'm like, no.
Oh my God. Look harder, the other head of hair.
Look at my face. So, yeah.
My face is up here.
So I've shaved, but I'll grow it back. It is funny though, because even I've had the beard since like November, which is wild to think that, holy shit, we're in March. I had it for like 4 months.
It's a long time.
Even I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, damn, I look so young.
Yeah, you look very different. I've aged without down it, here. Yeah.
Nice.
You cut it just before the winter seasons are coming in. You're no, fucked
I'll,
up.
Again, I'll grow it back though.
But you've exposed hilarious. Your face to the elements.
Yeah, I've got to get some fresh air in there.
Oh my God. Yeah. One day you just got to do like a buzz cut on your hair. Just shave all your hair off and see if Lenska notices. Like, you're just fucking like, walking. You're walking around bald and you're just like,
like, did looking you shave, at her. Did you shave your beard? Like, oh my God, I cut my hair.
Or you could rock that the style that seems to be in with a lot of people who they're like losing their hair, shave which is the, not your case. They shave their head and they grow a long beard. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen Dan Reichert from
Max
Giant
Payne
Bomb.
3.
Max Payne 3. He's got long ass beard and no hair. And it's just like, yeah.
I can't.
But luckily, both of us are fortunate that we are not losing our hair. Touch
yeah, wood. Look, I'm in my mid-30s. The hair's still looking good, so I'm like...
Don't tempt it. Don't tempt it with a shave of the head, because then it will be like...
Yeah, maybe
we should just stay away.
I hit 14. My hair's like, nah, fam. We done. Yeah. Peace out.
I've got a guy at work who, when I started working with him, he was an intern. He's much younger than me. And he had long hair. Like, I'm talking about like shoulder length hair, really curly, really beautiful hair. And then he started working full time this year and he had shaved all his hair.
Oh my God.
And I was like, why? He actually, someone at the office calls him Kratos because he's got a long ass beard and he's got no head And I'm like, why'd you do it? He's like, nah, I was just balding. I was widow peaking. So I'm just going to commit to the bald head. And I was like, that is wild. Because a year ago, I saw you and you had long ass hair. Like your whole head was covered.
Oh
like,
my God. Don't tell me things like that. This time next year, I might be Kratos as well.
But for Halloween, he's got it sorted. You just got to take some red paint and put it over the side of his face. He's fucking ready to go.
He's going
to
call everyone boy. Boy.
He does jujitsu. So he's got the fighting down, you know.
He's got the hand combat down, just needs to learn how to fight with an axe now.
Yeah, maybe exactly. Some chaos blades. Walk around the office calling everyone boy. Goes to his boss. They're like, hey, what's up? Boy. Just like, okay.
And then they're like, hey, have you met that deadline? He's like, I don't beat deadlines. I'm the fucking god of war.
Sit down, boy.
My goodness.
Good times. You know what else is a good time? Video games. Let's go. Video games are in a weird space. Well, not a weird space. They're in a good space now, but I feel like March is, it's waiting.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've got so much shit to play.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff to play, but the big hitters, they're still coming.
Oh, they're still coming, yeah.
3 weeks or 2 weeks until Resident Evil 4, which I feel like is the big popping off of March. Yeah.
I mean... let me just tell you what's before we start talking about games. On my list, I'm still plugging away at Hogwarts Legacy. Okay, I'm like 20 hours in. I think I'm pretty far in the story.
It's better things to play, but
I want to play. I want to carry on with Hulong Fallen Dynasty.
Okay. Yeah, I've kind of fallen off of that just because of the other stuff that I now I'm obligated to play, and I feel bad about it.
That's two games I'm knee deep in. Okay, before we've even got new games. I've started streaming Resident Evil 6, which I really want to finish. It's a good time.
Oh my God.
So there we go. That's three games.
I do agree with you, though. Playing with someone else makes a game significantly better.
It's way
because playing that garbage alone is painful.
I mean, I played the whole game alone and I had a great time, but it's better co-op.
You can't sit there and tell me you enjoyed the chapters with Albert Wesker's son. Like, come on.
I mean, okay, maybe when I get to them again, I PTSD'd and I don't remember, but... We're playing Leon's campaign and it's great.
And it is insane how action heavy that game is. Like
in the first 3 hours, okay, you start off at like a government building. Then you
start off with Chris Redfield, right?
No, with Leon. It's Leon and Helena. So you in like a government building, you go to a subway, you go through a town, and then you're in a graveyard. This is in the first 3 hours. I shit you not. That's how the diversity of action.
Resident Evil 2, only in a police station. Resident Evil 6, the world.
The world. So yeah, I'm playing those three games, and then we've got Resident Evil 4 coming. We've got
so excited.
Bayonetta Origins, Cereza and the Last Demon coming as well. I think that's next week.
Yeah.
And there's more. Like, I know there's more. There's just too much. But before, you tell us what you've been playing. Talk about my nonsense.
So I've been playing a game that I can't talk about yet, so I'm not going to talk about that yet. But it explains why I've only played a little bit. Other things in the meantime. And most of that has been Dead Space.
Raw.
Dead Space is something I wanted to play earlier this year, but it was like super, super busy. I love Dead Space. I played through the whole trilogy last year, actually, at the beginning of last year, because I'd always played Dead Space 1. I had played like most of Dead Space 2 and never finished it, and I'd never played 3. So I just played all 3 back to back last year. They still hold up. Dead Space 3 is cool, man. I know people like... I think people shit on that game because it was crap when it launched because it was like very microtransaction heavy.
Mm.
But now that they've turned that all off and they kind of like give you everything, like you can craft the most ridiculous shit in that game and feel it is not the same tension as the first two games, but it is still a fun game.
Would you say?
Also, you fight the moon at the end of it, which is insane.
Excuse me.
Like the moon is the final boss of the Dead Space franchise. It's crazy.
Would you say that Dead Space 3 is the Resident Evil 6 of that franchise? Hated by critics, but beloved.
Yeah, I guess so. It is way more large scale and just crazy and action-y. Nice. And yeah, I guess so. It's still better, I think. but Dead Space now, EA Motive, I think it was... remade the first one like from the ground up. And that was always interesting to me because the first game is quite old. I think it came out in 2011. No, I lied. Sorry, it's like 2009. Like
late 2000s, yeah.
Yeah, the sequel came out in 2011. Let me just check here. 2008. So, old game. Like 15 years old.
Does it make you feel old? Where were you this time 15 years ago?
It's kind of incredible that I replayed the original last year and like 15-year-old game holds up incredibly well. Mm. And it just shows you that good design doesn't really age all that terribly. And I think that's why the remake is...
Get the tattoo. Good design doesn't age.
That's going to be my mantra for the rest of my life. Yeah. I think that's why the remake doesn't really have to make too many changes. It stays quite faithful and it's still really, really fun. Like it looks significantly better, obviously.
Yeah.
It maintains the mood of the first game while giving it the sort of like darkness and ambience that the first game couldn't because of the technical limitations. Yeah. So it's weird. It's like when you first play it, you're like, oh, this doesn't actually look that much better. And then you go and look at screenshots of the first game, you're like, oh my God, like it is.
Our memory
is your mind's
this.
Eye. Yeah. Like, exactly. It is exactly that. It's like your memory is thinking that the original looked a lot better than it did.
Yeah.
But this kind of, it does the really good trick of looking exactly like how you expected it to based on your memory, which is a cool feeling. So yeah, it still feels really good to slice up necromorphs with the plasma cutter. They've made some smart changes to small mechanics. So, for instance, the weapon crafting is slightly different in that I don't know if you recall from. Have you played the first one?
I played the first. I've played it
okay
once in the heyday. So I'm very excited to play the remake because like I have very little memory of that game.
Oh, okay. So you might not remember that the upgrade system, like you had to collect nodes, these like power nodes.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and you had to like use those to, like you had every weapon in your suit had like a sort of like little map and each node like...
Did something.
So the problem in the first game that I thought was really shit was that a lot of the upgrades were separated by nodes that did nothing. So it's like, oh, you wanted to get to the damage node? You have to like burn two nodes that do nothing just to get there. They don't do that anymore. Every node does something.
Nice.
Which I think is a much better system.
Well, it's more, because more I can rewarding still go, right out the gate.
It's way more rewarding. Yeah. Like I don't have to like, oh, I need damage on my plasma cutter, but that means I need to find four nodes just to get that upgrade.
Oh my God.
Now I need maybe still four nodes to get to damage, but along the way I'm getting capacity upgrades or reload upgrades and it's way more rewarding. I much prefer it. So that's one big change. The other one is that obviously, the first game was very linear and it was segmented into acts. So whenever you got on the tram, you went to a new section of the Ishimura and you couldn't go back and you couldn't go forward either. You were just like, now you're in the medical wing, now you're in engineering, you've got to do... That is completely not the case anymore. So you can actually walk between areas sometimes. In the first act, you find the tram, it's broken, you walk through this area, and then you're at medical. And then later on, you walk back from medical back to like the dock. Mm-hmm. And in the original, that was a tram thing where you had to load between these two areas. And it's cool because that little in-between area is a brand new area that, you know, is...
That didn't exist before.
Like it's a bespoke thing that they've made. And that's where the... Sort of. This is where the game's new like AI director kicks in, where it's similar to like Left 4 Dead, where it's got like a system that is judging when to throw enemies at you and when not to. Because now you're more freely available to explore the world, it needs to pepper in more enemies than in the original.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just not going to see anything for a very long time. It is a bit aggressive with the way it does things. It throws enemies at you way more frequently than the original ever used to, which kind of, I think, messes with the balance of tension and action slightly, but not to a degree where it feels like, oh, this is like Dead Space 3. It's still very much like survival horror. You are encountering pockets of enemies that are draining your health and draining your ammo, and then you have like some reprieve to kind of recoup, which is really nice. So it's cool that you can go backwards and forwards because there's like new side missions that you can do that require you to bounce between areas. It also means that if I think I've missed something, I can go back and explore more, find new schematics for weapons, find new ammunition. They changed Isaac's face, which I'm very weirded out by. He looks very different. They even changed his hair color. I don't know why. It's very strange.
Pulled an insomniac, like the.
Yeah, he looks younger. His voice doesn't match the body. Amazing. It's weird. I don't. Oh, he also talks. So yeah, in the first game, he never spoke.
Yeah, he was a silent protagonist, wasn't he?
He only started speaking in the second game. Yeah, so he's got lots of speaking in this one. So, which is kind of nice because I forgot how in the first one, so many times you'd get radio messages of people just talking at you and you just fucking not reply. And it's like,
On that, I'm all for silent protagonist, but like sometimes I feel that it doesn't work and it's a bit rude.
It makes zero sense.
Gordon, like, you've got to go save us.
Yeah. Gordon's just like, cool. Like whatever. Like
waves the crowbar.
Like, Gordon, go here and activate this and this and this and that. It's like, did you hear me? Like, are you okay? Like, yeah. So I've only ever died. I'm playing it on normal and I'm finding it easier than I expected. I've only died once, but, and that's because I ran out of oxygen.
Do you not think that maybe that's because you've played the game enough times
that you have a very good understanding
of its systems? So I imagine I've played this game once, 15 years ago. I'm going to have no memory, little to no memory of how things really work, where to go, what the story does.
I definitely think that's the case because I'm like focusing on weapons I know are actually useful, like. You get the pulse rifle. That thing sucks. just stick with the plasma cutter.
Yeah. Plasma cutters,
aim for the limbs. Like now I know most of the enemies. So when I see them, I'm like, I know exactly how to deal with this guy. I know how to deal with this guy. And I know now use stasis a lot. Like when I originally played this game, I was like hardly using stasis. I was only using it for puzzles. But man, like if you're being overwhelmed, just fucking stasis a group of enemies and just go ham on them. Like it's really easy.
I remember one enemy early, and it's the one that you couldn't actually kill. the big tentacle thing. Yeah, I think it was like a contextual, like, oh, you've got to lure it into. Man, I hated that boss. That to me, there's nothing more terrifying than like.
But I know what you're talking about.
Like nothing more terrifying than I can't actually kill this thing. I just have to run.
That's when horror is at its best, man. It's like you've been playing for 3 hours, and you feel somewhat powerful, and then it rips that right away from you. It's like, no.
So I remember that boss.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a great time. They obviously changed up the zero gravity stuff as well, because in the first one, you could only jump from point to point.
So you'd be on a server.
So now it's full 360 zero gravity stuff, just like in the last two games. So again, they've really done the thing of where did this series end up mechanically? Let's put that in the first game and let's adjust it so it makes sense. And I think they've done a really good, based on what I've played, really good job so far. I'm having a great time with it. I love Dead Space. I know they put out a survey asking if people wanted remakes of 2 and 3. I would, but it would be a tragedy if we get remakes of 2 and 3 and not a new Dead Space within like the next 5 years.
I'd be curious to see sales numbers because I mean that will be an indicator of like
it was the most high sold game on PlayStation in Jan.
We are getting a Dead Space 2.
I'm pretty sure we're getting a remake, we're gonna ask
the fans please man, the sales numbers are like Dead Space 2. Let's go.
I just want them to make a new one because I feel like if they remake all three, well, you know, if that takes 5 years and then they're like, cool, we're making a new one, people will be like,
but maybe
they're already fatigued by that point.
Yeah,
you know
maybe
what I mean?
maybe this is a good indicator of like people want more Dead Space, but maybe it's worth diverting to. Like, I don't want to say a reboot because then it's a bit weird to remake, and then you have like a reboot. I don't know. It would be interesting if the next entry is something completely different.
They should follow the Capcom. Yeah, I don't know if they can, but like you know, Capcom's done this really smart thing of remaking their core ones, but alternating with new entries. So it was like Resident Evil Remake 2, Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil Remake 3, Resident Evil 8.
Yeah.
So it's like you're still getting the new, and the remakes are kind of like a stopgap between the new entries. I don't know if EA is willing to put that much money behind Dead Space because EA Motive, I don't think, can do two games at a time.
No.
But I would much prefer that approach than like, oh, by the time we get to 2030, then they're like, cool, Dead Space 4. I'll be like, I'm done. Like, series done.
Yeah. Like, nah, I'm over it again.
A remake of Dead Space 2 would be phenomenal, I think, because that game is fucking incredible.
I've never played Dead Space 2.
It is the best of the... One and two are very good, but two is very much like that Assassin's Creed 2 type of thing where it's like, it just feels tuned a bit better, you know? It's...
Nice.
And I would love to see what the fuck they do to a remake of 3. That would be hit, like kind of
three,
incredible.
Did 3 have co-op?
Yes.
It's the Resident Evil 6 of Dead Space.
It had, they introduced co-op, they had microtransactions.
Nice.
I think they had a really cool idea where it was on an ice planet and they were hiding the monsters in plain sight, which I thought was really
That's
smart.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just weird. You fight a moon. It's strange.
Obi-Wan Kenobi comes out like, that's no moon. It's the final boss. Like, whoa. Okay.
It is. The whole moon is one big necromorph. It's fucking insane. It's so, anyway.
That's great.
That's what I've mostly been playing this week. So what has been up your side?
Well, I suppose we're going to keep a weirdly, not at all planned, but weirdly themed episode of, you know, these horror remakes, because I have been playing I played a little demo of a game called Resident Evil 4. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Nah, never heard of it.
Let me just pull it.
Don't think it'll catch on.
My footage here.
Never heard of this Leon guy.
So Capcom had a showcase earlier this week and they quote unquote shadow dropped a Resident Evil 4 demo. Which is, I think, like, I take my hat off to them. They've been really good. All the Resident Evils in the last 5 years, 6 years, whatever, every single one of them has had a demo like a few weeks before launch. And it's just like a nice teaser or a taste of what you can expect from the game.
Yeah.
And man, I've played this demo. It only took me like 20 to 25 minutes. And I'm real stoked for Resident Evil 4.
You're in, yeah.
I think, have you played Resident Evil 4 before? I think everyone has at this stage. Like, it's on every damn platform. Don't you tell me you haven't.
I haven't, actually.
You haven't? Okay, well.
I've played maybe the opening few hours. I've never finished it.
So, I think the closest comparison I can give you, you've played Resident Evil 5, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, different games, but in terms of movement and mechanics, Resident Evil 5 was Resident Evil 4, but with co-op, you know, but very similar. You can shoot an enemy in the face and then walk up to them and do like a melee attack.
But you can't move while shooting.
You can't move, but they've made a lot of changes in this one, you know, modernized it in a lot of very subtle and I think clever ways, at least from what I've seen and, you know, as much as I can see in the first 20 minutes, which is, it's basically the opening of the game. For example, you can aim and move, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
But weirdly, in an un-Resident Evil move, you can crouch in this game and sneak around.
Oh, interesting.
Which it took me completely by surprise. Like, oh, so maybe, you know, in the main game, you'll be incentivized to sneak around or do whatever. Just interesting little touch, which you'd think in a survival horror franchise that's been around for like nearly 30 years at some stage they would have. Actual
some sort
mechanics.
Of stealth,
they've also added this thing where your knife plays a pretty big defensive role, kind of like what they've done in I suppose remake 2, where, you know, if you get grabbed you can kind of use an item defensively, but here it seems that you've got your knife and it's got durability, so if you get grabbed you have the option to tap a button to like pull out of the grab, you know, while taking more damage, or immediately hit your knife button and, you know, get rid of an enemy, but your knife loses a bit of durability.
Okay.
So it's like a subtle little touch. And I imagine you're either going to find more knives as you play, obviously, or have the ability to repair it at the merchant or something. It's not quite clear in this demo. But it's like, it's such a subtle thing, because then immediately you've got a little bit more onus on your strategies. It's like, well, do I burn my knife durability to get out of the sticky situation, or like I'll take the damage and go for it, you know? That's really what I've been able to glean mechanically from the demo. Visually, it looks great. I mean, if you're watching...
I was just about to say, this looks fucking incredible.
This engine is actual magic. Like, So this footage is from PS5. I don't doubt that it looks just as good. Obviously, maybe not as crisp, not as smooth, but it'll probably look just as good in last-gen consoles because Remake 2 and 3...
Right, it is coming to last-gen, yeah.
...were in the same engine, and they both looked great. I think it's interesting because Resident Evil 4 is definitely, you know, an iconic title, but it was more... It definitely was more action focused, still like survival horror, but not nearly in the same levels the games that came before it. But I think, you know, the more you played the game, the more it became very action focused. You had a whole arsenal of weapons, grenades, etc., etc. But I do wonder how they're going to keep the tension going in this game, because even in terms of lighting, like, it's night and day how good this game looks. Like, if for those of
and
you
it,
who can't
it looks
watch,
it looks a lot darker. Like,
it's way darker. Yeah. I mean, yeah. even this opening enemy, I'm like, oh my God, this is terrifying. Goodness. So you see, I'm using the knife there immediately.
Yeah, to get out of the grab. Oh my God, look at his head.
Oh man, but yeah, it's just a short taste of the game. But yeah, I'm very excited to replay this. I played Resident Evil 4, not even in a tether. I played it on the Wii, like many years later, and I absolutely loved it. It's quite a long entry in terms of the campaign length. So I'm quite interested to see what else they do, you know, to reinvent such this iconic game. Like, it's probably the most beloved Resident Evil for, you know, a number of people and reasons. And I think it's quite a tall task, you know, to remake it while ticking all the boxes.
This was always going to be the hardest remake, I think, for them. Like, because it is so good to play still today.
Exactly.
I mean?
But it's also interesting because if you think of, let's say, Resident Evil 2 remake, that drastically changed things because, you know, no longer static camera, it is over the shoulder. The Resident Evil 4 is over the shoulder already. It's the same sort of perspective, the same sort of feel. But what else are they going to do, or what are they going to do to mix things up? Like, I've already noticed, like I said, some small mechanic tweaks, but what else are they going to do? How are they going to change narrative beats? How's it going to be walking around with Ashley? Like, that was a huge mechanic in the first one where you could tell her to follow you or stop following you. You could tell her to hide in a garbage bin, a dumpster. Like, I don't know if this is still going to be a thing in this remake. So, yeah, real cool.
It seems to be tons of positive sentiment from previews that were, you know, more extensive, like some of the changes they've made to combat, like parrying with your knife apparently is a big thing.
I didn't figure that out, but yeah, I know there is parrying now.
Yeah, so that's like, I think they've definitely tried to do enough to for it to not be like, cool, this is the same game but just looks better. Which would kind of be the most boring route.
You have to reinvent it.
Did you shoot the lantern above the cow in the? I saw that in one of their showcases. It was like, oh, you can use fire and animals to attack enemies, and they just burn the shit out of a barn with the cow.
I'll hard cut to what happened in my playthrough because I laughed because I also knew about that. Sorry, this is poor for audio listeners. But you'll notice.
I know this section. You see, I've played this section of the original.
Yeah, so this is like, you're in the village.
Oh my God, you are dead.
Look at this. I'm like, shit, let me run to the barn so I can shoot the lantern. Oh shit, it's already down. Oh my God, there's the cow. did not work as planned.
Oh my God, this cow's coming for you. Oh my God.
Oh, that is hilarious.
This is that moment where you just kind of have to survive and then they ring the bell. Yeah, and everyone like disappears.
I don't recall there being a chainsaw dude.
I recall there being a chainsaw dude.
Oh, was there
yeah.
in this opening?
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
Damn.
That's like a very iconic, what the hell?
Did you just pick up a chicken egg? Yeah, 100%.
Okay, can you throw it at the chainsaw dude?
No, this is a health. Okay, it came in clutch
the
in my
egg is a health item.
It's a health item. It was in the protein. Original as well.
Definite protein. You know, I can actually see like Leon Kennedy just smashing that egg whole into his mouth, eating it shell and all. Just
it's delicious. Yeah. And also just right out the gate, they give more context to how Leon got you. Because I remember playing the original going, I don't know if maybe you read via notes or late in the story. I know, it's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. You just parried a chainsaw with a little hand hunting knife. Like, what is going on?
But in the original, it's like, in Resident Evil 2, Leon is this rookie cop, okay? hard cuts Resident Evil 4, he is a special agent hunting the president's daughter. You're like, how did this happen?
And there's only like 4 years between the two, isn't
it? I think it's
like
6 years. So yeah, when you start the game, there's a cutscene which explains like how he got you. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. Because it wasn't clear the first
time. Did it make sense?
I mean, it kind of makes sense. It's like, oh, I survived Raccoon City and then I was recruited into a special forces unit and I got training and blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool. This explains why this dude can roundhouse kick a zombie now, you know?
He 6 years of training has taught him how to roundhouse kick zombies.
Got personally trained by Chuck Norris. Yeah, but the game's out, I think, in 2 or so weeks. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be real good. I don't see how it can't be good unless they're like
I'm
really
so
messed
goddamn
up.
Keen to see, to play that game. Like, the Resident Evil games for the past couple of years have been like the best things to happen in a year of gaming. So, I mean, RE2 was like one of the best games I've ever played. RE3, I still really enjoyed RE3 Remake.
Mm, me too.
And Village was just incredible, I thought. So full of nonsense, but incredible.
If you enjoyed Village, honestly felt like a spiritual successor to 4 in so many ways.
A lot of people have said that, yeah. I mean, I do think Village isn't as scary as 7, but I also think 7's the scariest Resident Evil's ever been. But I like them. I'm here for the cheese and the good times.
Same.
And it's just great gameplay.
I acknowledge that the story is actual garbage, but
actual
it doesn't matter.
I watched a really good... GameSpot has a really good like Resident Evil timeline video up. It's like 45 minutes.
Oh, I must watch that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Game goes places.
Bullshittery. Like, it's
you'll
just
be surprised how many games you don't even know about that just exist. And you're like, oh.
It's incredible that that timeline now starts with something that happened in Village. The way they just shoehorn that game into there. Like, it's nah, great. this is actually how the whole series started. Really.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Fun.
If you're hankering for more Resident Evil, you know, like you don't have enough, I think pick up Revelations 1 and or 2.
Oh, I still need to play those,
the Switch. Because Revelations 1 was actually a 3DS title, like exclusive.
I played a little bit of it on 3DS, but then it felt really bad on 3DS.
I played on Switch now, it'd be great.
Yeah, and Revelations 2 is apparently real fun. So
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Apparently in Revelations 2, I found this out from the video, there is a plot point where people are outfitted with collars on their neck that capture their like fear level, and if they get too scared, they die.
Something like that.
What? Is this Saw?
I played it many years ago, but that rings a bell.
It's good lord.
It was a good time.
Fucking Wesker behind like 3 monitors. Like, yes, get scared.
Exactly as planned.
Oh my goodness. What else have you been up to?
So let me just make a little timestamp over here quickly while I have a gap. So another demo that dropped, I think it was this week as well.
Oh, a plethora of demos.
Just, you know, we if you're living
Matty
for
put
demos,
in that demo disc today.
We're at your feasting, okay, on games that are coming up. Do you like Bayonetta?
I did a lot more before the third one.
Oh, wow. For those of you who don't know, I don't know. I can't remember where to showcase. Probably at a Nintendo. It must have been a Nintendo Direct.
I think there was a Direct in February.
They're like, hey, do you like Bayonetta? We've got a Bayonetta Origin game coming out called Bayonetta Origins Serrata and the Lost Demon. And people are like, yeah, more Bayonetta. This is nothing like Bayonetta. This is, I think it's a huge departure from what you might expect. This is definitely not, you know, an action game. It's more positioned as the origin story of, you know, the franchise's lead character, Cereza or Bayonetta, whatever you want to call her. But it's positioned more as a fairy tale. So if you're watching the video feed, very gorgeous, sort of like water paint style.
Cool art style, yeah.
It's such a weird change of tone. This is 100%, it feels like it's targeted like, not, I don't mean this at all in a bad way, but like targeted at children, the way it's told, like you have somebody literally narrating the story. And if you're watching the video feed, it's like a fairy tale book and it's being paged through as the story is unfolding. But in terms of gameplay, it is a, I would call it an adventure puzzle game. And the demo, I think it's about, I'd say like an hour long. It's the first two chapters of the game. And I remember you saying like, oh, we're probably going to get review code for this. Do you want to play it? So I was like, I guess I can. Like, I don't, can't say I have like any affinity for it. Like, I'll play it. Having played the demo, I'm actually all in. It's not Bayonetta, but I'm charmed by the art style. And the gameplay is actually real neat.
Okay.
So in a nutshell, you're playing as Cereza, like as a teenager or a very young girl. And she's still in the process of like discovering her powers. Long story short, she's got a stuffed animal called Cheshire, and a demon takes the body of the stuffed animal. And you basically have to work together to, you know, just progress through this world by solving puzzles with some light combat. So it's quite interesting in terms of how it controls. Like, I don't know. Do you know anything about this game? Have you also like literally just watched the trailer?
I've heard about how you control the two, and it reminds me of so essentially you control like Cereza with the left stick and Cheshire with the right stick, which reminds me a lot of what was it called? Brothers? Tale of Two Sons?
Was it similar? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Haze Light, you know, the makers of It Takes Two and whatever. Yeah. Same idea. That was like the whole thing of that game. And it was also a puzzle game. So I assume there's going to be puzzles here where it's like positioning of the two is going to be crucial.
I've never played that game, but I'm like you said, I imagine it's very similar. Like if you're watching the video feed, that here's a very good example of, oh no, there's this plant which your demon can't walk through. So we have to find it an alternate path around. And it is a thing of, you know, you use the right thumbstick to take the demon up a cliffside, for example, navigate around this thing, and then Cereza might be needed to cast a spell to make a ledge or something. So it's very cool. I mean, I've only played like, you know, the demo's first two chapters, so I don't know how diverse the game will be. Like, I don't know if it's literally this for the entire duration of, oh no, there's obstacles you have to separate and come together, or how deep does the combat get, for example? Because again, like your demon can actually attack while Cereza, like she has a spell that can hold enemies in place, you know, so working together.
Cool. Okay.
So I wonder, like, you know, what extra spells will she get? Will my demon get different attacks or combos? Like, I don't know to what depth the game goes, but as a little mood board or taster of what's to come, I'm genuinely surprised by how much I enjoyed this game. I think visually it's like, it really is a treat. I love the animation. I love the style. Not at all.
It looks really good. I think it looks stunning. And this is the sort of like art style that shines on the Switch on like a smaller screen. So
yeah. And the thing is, like, the Switch is 6-year-old hardware at this stage. It runs this perfectly because it's not like super graphically demanding, but it's beautiful to look at. So I'm
like envisioning a Legend of Zelda in this art style.
Oh, that'd be
like a Wind Waker-esque. That would be pretty sick, I think.
Yeah. But again, if you're a hardcore Bayonetta fan expecting a, you know, an adult Bayonetta doing witch, you know, Umbra witch things, this is
this doesn't seem like a character action game the other games have been.
This is definitely like a narrative driven puzzle game, if I could call it that.
Yes. That's kind of cool, though. Cool change of pace.
Not that that's a bad thing at all. It's just like, be aware that don't go, oh wow, Bayonetta Origins, cool. And then
don't come here from Bayonetta 3 and being like, cool, this is going to be an extension of that.
Amazing. Yeah. No, it's not that. But yeah, it's real nice.
Although, as far as I know, this was actually teased in Bayonetta 3. There was like a level of this in Bayonetta 3.
I want to go look that up now because I'd be very curious to see what it looks like in that game.
Because, I mean, Bayonetta 3 deals with like multi-dimensional Cerases, and I think the Cerase is like part of that. Yeah. So, yeah. Too bad Bayonetta 3 was not a good game.
I'll play it one day. Oh, no. Can you hear that? They're doing gardening next door.
You love to hear it.
Love to hear it. So apologies for that.
NVIDIA broadcast coming in clutch with that noise suppression. I don't even know if you're using it.
But but so you can't hear it?
Nope.
Oh, that's amazing. Cool. But yeah, that's Bayonetta Origins, Cereza, and The Lost Demon. Good nice. Time. Very keen to play it when it launches.
It's cool that the progress from the demo carries over to the full game. So that's neat. You're not like wasting time.
I also wonder how long the game will be because you can save your game in the demo and it shows my progression was 10%.
Damn. So, okay.
Sure. So if it is one for one, I'm envisioning a 10-hour experience in the final game.
That's not too bad.
No.
Okay.
So we'll see.
I think adventure games like this can't be like 20 hours. No, you'd get so fucking over it by the end of it. So
yeah.
Okay. Neat.
Cool.
I'm actually kind of keen to play this. It looks like fun.
Mm. It's a good time.
It's not co-op, right? Like you can't like split the duties of...
I should have looked this up before, but I don't know. It could definitely work up if
like
one person
one
controls
person
Cereza,
Cereza
one controls.
One...
I would be shocked if it's not co-op, actually, because it lends itself to co-op perfectly. I mean, was two brothers co-op? Could you play it two players? No. Oh, was it only one player? Mm. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Maybe it's the same thing. Yeah. You should play. Yeah. You should play brothers. It's pretty good. Pretty good, clever puzzle game. Nice. You know, from those peeps figuring things out.
Cool.
Should we bounce on over to game releases then?
Game releases, yes.
So we are looking at games out from today, March 11th, all the way up to March 17th. Can you believe it? Can you even
believe it?
March 17th to March 11th.
There's actually some big games this week.
Yeah, some heavy hitters here. First off, we got Rough Justice /84 comes to PC March 13th. The Forest Cathedral comes to PC Xbox March 14th. Valheim is making its debut on Xbox March 14th. That's also coming to Game Pass, as far as I know. That's cool. Valheim's a good game. The Wreck, coming to PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch March 14th. Hell of an Office, Steam Early Access, PC March 14th. Flooded, the prologue to the enemies in Halo. No, I'm joking. coming to PC March 15th. Post Void, coming to PS4 and Switch, March 16th. Anno 1800, Ubisoft City Builder strategy game, PC, Xbox, March 16th. WWE 2K23, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, March 17th. Maybe it won't be shit this year and Darren won't be sad.
But correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't last year's entry the one that was actually really good? Like... was it not good? Why do I feel that...
They changed developers and it was meant to be good and it was not.
So which wrestling game did Kinda Funny go all in on? Was it
last year's one?
Oh, was it last year's one? I thought...
It was last year's one, but it didn't live up to like the... Like it was still... It was a step in the right direction as far as I understand it, but still not fantastic.
Okay.
So maybe this year they've learned...
Maybe this is the one, yeah.
Listen, I don't know. I think wrestling fans have been...
they've been cheated for too long now.
too long by these games, yeah. Then the game we were just talking about now, Bayonetta Origins, Cereza and the Lost Demon, coming to Switch March 17th. Your biggest game of the week here, Peppa Pig World Adventures, coming to PC, PlayStation, Xbox. I joke, but that's a big game. Like, that shit's going to sell. So, Toy Tactics, coming to Steam Early Access March 17th. And then... if you've pre-ordered Diablo 4, you will get access to the beta next weekend. For everyone else not pre-ordering, it is the weekend after. It is a bummer, though, that it is... listen, it's the first act. Huge. That is a big first act. That is like 10 to 15 hours. Your progress will not carry over.
That's
which is
immediately
a bummer
for
me.
Then I'm just not going to play it.
I'm not going to spend 15 hours playing a beta and then like... just redo the whole first act again.
No,
so
thanks.
Yeah. I'll probably jump in for a little bit, play around, and then be like, cool, yeah, I'll wait for this in June.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's it, yeah.
That's it.
That
games
is
out
it.
This week. We're going to move on to the gaming news
gaming
segment.
News.
What should we
talk about first? Starfield?
Starfield has a release date.
Which is technically a delay.
Yeah.
Yeah. A slight one.
But it is coming this year still. Oh my God. Written by Darren Bonthouse himself on GameSpot.
Yo, you love to see it. You love to see it. Got to support our Darrens out there.
Yeah. Support your local Darren.
Starfield, Microsoft really shot themselves in the foot last year during that E3 showcase where they're like, every game you see now will be out within 12 months. Like, don't do that. Like, just don't do that if you absolutely do not know for certain that's the case. And that hasn't been the case for Starfield, and I'm sure, well, that, Forza, same thing.
That showcase was April, right? Or May?
Last year.
Yeah. When was it? The one?
It was like May or June.
So listen, you mean to tell me that Silksong is out in the next 2 months? Because that was part of that showcase. So
super not happening. So I guess they decided to rip the bandaid off on this before doing the whole Starfield showcase. Because I think when they do that showcase, the question was always going to be, when is it out?
When's the release date? Yeah.
So they've officially announced that Starfield will be out on September 6th for PC and Xbox, originally dated for the first half of 2023. So it's missing that by a couple of months. There will also be the Starfield Direct, the Starfield specific showcase, happening on June 11th. It's set to be taking place after Xbox's bigger showcase. So that means that we are getting the big E3-like showcase from Xbox on June 11th as well. And then the Starfield one will be after that. So that's quite interesting because that means Xbox's showcase is going to be...
It's going to have some
not
stuff.
Not focused on Starfield.
Yeah, because I thought it would be focused on Starfield.
I'm pretty sure they'll bring it up there. But yeah, very interesting. So yeah. Nice. The trailer was kind of neat. The more I see of this game, the more I'm interested in it. Like when Todd Howard was speaking there and they were playing it in the background, I was like, that looks fun. That looks kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Destiny-like gameplay with the exploration of a No Man's Sky. That's the sort of feeling I'm getting from it.
Like a colleague said, if it's Fallout in space, they're down for it. So
I 100% think it's going to be similar to that. So yeah, I'm kind of keen to give it a go. When they talk about, oh, we have thousands of planets you can have, I'm like, okay, stop. Say less. Like, just don't speak. I don't want a game like that.
I also how to immediately put me off a game like thousands. Yeah. Of, I'm like, ugh, please no.
Yeah, ugh, no.
or it's Todd Howard saying thousands of planets and the developers going, excuse me.
Yeah. Wait, when did we decide this?
Mr. Howard, we haven't coded.
Mr. Howard's just like, we got ChatGPT now. We're good.
We got Planet GPT. We can just auto generate them.
GPT,
it's cool.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Yeah. So that's cool. It's coming out, September 6th. I guess the big marquee launch then for this first half of the year is Redfall. Because Forza Motorsport seems to be delayed out of that half year thing. Apparently also for September, which is weird.
Is Redfall in April or May?
May.
May. Okay, so that's pretty close.
It is pretty close. I'm still keen to play Redfall. Like, it doesn't show well. I think the demos for the game have not been fantastic.
It might play better than it looks.
But it might play a lot better when you're with people and whatever. So I'm hoping. Arcane is yet to let me down, put it that way. So I have a lot of faith in them. But we'll see. We'll see.
Well, speaking of delays, what do you think of that Suicide Squad game, which had a trailer about a week or two ago?
Not good.
Not good. Yeah. Well, you're not alone because it seems that everyone watched that trailer went, oof.
Oof.
Yeah, that
oof. Where's that Roblox like voice, audio cue? Oof.
So, I don't know if that's what they said, but I'm pretty sure that because of the reception, they're like, shit, okay, we're going to delay this and just like finesse it a bit more. I don't know.
But
I don't know how you finesse the games as a service game.
You can't.
But
you can't.
The game has been delayed. No solid release date, but it is still planned for 2023.
Well, to be fair, not official yet.
Oh, is it not official?
Jason Schreier, Bloomberg, is reporting that it is being delayed. Rocksteady and Warner Brothers have not actually officially said that it will be delayed.
Jason Schreier is the law, though. On
yeah, true.
Whatever he says, you know, just comes to true. It comes, to, you know, becomes true.
I agree with you that his report on Bloomberg suggests that the game will be delayed until later this year. That is not enough time to make any significant gameplay changes. That just probably means they want to polish it up a little bit more. Yeah. And it's not this sort of thing is not unheard of. I'm sure you remember The Last of Us 2 had that state of play where they announced the date, and then not even a month later, they're like, yeah, it's delayed. And everyone's like, the fuck? Why did you even announce the date then? Like, you surely would have known at that point. Yeah. So it's just a thing. It could be that they announced the release date for stock reasons, or who knows. But I don't think the game's going to be any different from what we saw. Just delayed a few months.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look good. No. I don't think it looks good at all. Yes. I was listening to a lot of people give their impressions of it, and I can't remember who said it on what podcast, but they kind of nailed what felt weird to me is that the game had like zero impact to it. The guns felt like
just pew pew.
They were just hitting nothing. You know, there was no impact to the sort of actions you're doing. Whereas in a game like Destiny, the gunplay has a lot of feel to it, which gives a lot of, you know, it accentuates a lot of the action. And the same with even like Anthem.
Yeah.
You know, those mechs felt hulking and brutish and like heavy. And when you swap between like a light class and a heavy class, you felt that difference. These characters just seem like they all float in the air in the same way. Their guns all look like they do the same shit. Also, they all use guns. Like, you've got a shark as one of your characters, a king shark, and he's using guns for the most part. Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm very curious to see how that game reviews when it eventually launches.
I will suggest poorly.
Damn, them's fighting words. Cool. What do you want to move on to next?
PS5 firmware. This is cool.
Nice. After 45 years.
Yeah, so we finally got... this firmware is stacked with like cool additions. Yeah. So it is firmware version 7, which I guess makes sense. It's a whole new number, so big one. It finally brings integrated Discord voice chat support. So now you can, you know, jump on Discord with people on other platforms through PlayStation directly. You don't need to have like a laptop or a phone.
No, you do. You do need a phone.
Wait, what? So you need a phone?
You still need a phone. So I told this to one of my colleagues very excitedly because they're a big PlayStation game and we play predominantly on PlayStation. We thought, finally, we can hop on Discord and game together on cross-platform games. And he looked up how to do it and you still... look, it might change in future, but for now, you still need a phone. So the way it works is you join a Discord server on your phone or desktop, whatever it is, download the app on your PlayStation. Then if... we're having a game session. You got to join my Discord. You have to join my Discord on your phone and then on your phone, throw it to the Discord app, if that makes sense. I know.
Throw it to PlayStation 5.
PlayStation 5, yeah.
So you don't need to route any audio through the phone.
No.
But you just need the phone to make that initial connection.
To make the connection, yeah.
That's weird.
It's weird.
Why can't you just make a connection straight from the console?
No, I have no idea. It's a bizarre...
Does it work like that on Xbox? Like,
so I could be wrong, but I think when Discord was added to Xbox, it had that as well, like this initial hoop to jump through. But I think that's since been fixed.
Removed. Yeah. So maybe it's an initial thing.
I think it might be an initial thing because I'm like, in the year of 2023, how is it not normal to just, join a Discord voice chat through your PlayStation without needing a mobile device?
I mean, it's not the end of the world, I guess. Like, it's annoying that you have to have a phone there to do that initial hop, but at least you're not like, oh, you need to like route the audio also through the phone. Like, that would be,
That'd be ridiculous.
Like, well, what's the point of like even having this?
Yeah.
Okay. So not the most ideal. Maybe it will get better, but still it's a step. It's a baby step.
It's baby steps.
So that's there. We've also got more feature-rich support for 1440p. So this applies mostly to you, actually. Because you play your PlayStation on a 1440p monitor. You should be using their 1440p mode because it will make your performance modes better, your visual quality modes better, everything. But now you get VRR support. So you get variable refresh rate support.
Nice.
So basically that's like, you know, G-Sync or AMD FreeSync. I'm curious to know what sort of requirements on an HDMI port you need for this, because how it works on modern TVs is that HDMI 2.1 has VRR as a standard.
Yeah.
And most gaming monitors, if you wanted support for G-Sync or FreeSync, you needed to use DisplayPort. It wouldn't work over HDMI. But sometimes that was only true if you were doing like G-Sync on a monitor that doesn't actually have the little G-Sync module inside it or whatever. So I'm curious to know how it works on PlayStation 5 and like what monitors support it. You should just flick it on yours and see if it works.
Yeah.
But that would be super cool, because then if you're playing like a 60 FPS game and it's dipping into 50s, you won't notice that.
Mm.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. The only reason I haven't tested out is because I have my PlayStation hooked up through an Elgato.
And that does not support
it. No, it doesn't work at all. But it's just I need to do the manual.
Doesn't the Elgato limit it to 1080p?
Yeah.
Dear God.
That's what I'm saying. I need to figure out a workaround where maybe I just have a simple system of I just unplug an HDMI cord and plug in, you know, plug it into another port if I'm not recording, which is like 80% of the time I game.
Don't you have the Elgato S?
Like I've got the S, HD. Yeah.
But yeah, that supports 4K, doesn't it?
No. I could be wrong, but I think I've got the one before the 4K one. I've had this Elgato for years now.
True. I've got the exact same one as you. I always thought it supported 4K for some reason.
You might think it does because the app...
is bad.
No, the app, well, not in there, but like look on the bottom right. It's called the Elgato 4K Capture Utility.
Yeah, no, the app is just like renamed to the most common.
So it's 4K.
So you've been playing PS5 at 1080p on a 1440p monitor this whole time.
Mm.
That's awful. It's like a 1080p image blown up at 1440p.
I mean, it still looks good to me, okay? Don't be out here. You know why? Because it's just, even in terms of audio, I have it set up that I can use my PC headphones, whatever.
Mm.
The moment I plug it directly into my monitor, I'm like, okay, I need to find a cable to plug in my headphones to my controller.
The controller or
something,
just, yeah.
Look, it's 100% just...
No, I get it. I mean, this is why streaming setups are a bit of a nightmare, because it's like... not everything supports everything on the daisy chain. Yeah.
Look, but
so honestly, the biggest solution to this is a new capture card.
Yeah. Or I can just get up, unplug my HDMI cable, plug in another one, which for all intents and purposes, it's not that complicated. The way I've got it set up, for example, I have a cable from my monitor that I plug into my work laptop when I work at home. I can literally just take that and plug it into my PlayStation and I've got it. You know what I mean?
I would say get an HDMI switcher, but then you're actually not solving the problem because HDMI switchers don't support a bunch of shit anyway. So it's just like, you might as well just stick with what you have.
I'll take the L and just, you know, do some manual admin. And even that, it's like, it's 3 minutes of my life.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But I mean, I was waiting for this. I think this feature was in beta.
It was.
So now that it's officially out, I'll definitely like investigate.
It's worth giving a shot. Yeah, I think. The last big thing, there's some like region specific ones for like voice commands. No one cares about that. But the big one, I think, is being able to fucking update your controller wirelessly. Like, I cannot believe that this didn't launch with the. Like, it's not a huge deal, but it is so annoying to like. Oh, your controller needs an update. Okay, now I've got to go find this USB-C fucking cable. Where did I leave it? Like, I updated one the other day. Just, like, I'm sitting on my couch. It's like, cool, I'm going to chuck the update to you with the power of the internet. And just, Xbox has done this for years.
This is the sort of thing where I'm like, PlayStation, stop stop taking lessons from your pal Nintendo. Okay, they stuck like 10 years in the past. Please, can we just get modern?
Just please, here? Please, forward thinking. Yeah, please.
My goodness.
But that's cool. It's cool that it works and it works seamlessly. So yeah you should go update your PS5 firmware. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow, I just realized I have a new story here without a link. That's cool.
Oh, no, I linked it. Happened. Which one are you looking at? The
Exoprimal.
Exoprimal. I got
you. We don't have to talk about that now, but here's your weekly Microsoft and Sony news. Always. So, oh God, this is getting so dumb. This is really getting so dumb. But basically, there's just more and documents coming out of these hearings that are happening with the commissions, and there's all sorts of nonsense happening. There was an Activision executive this week that said she was in a meeting where Jim Ryan basically said he does not care about any deals for Call of Duty. He just wants to block this merger at any cost. That got a lot of foot traffic, but because it's coming from an Activision exec who can't actually literally prove that he said that, it's a bit weird, that whole thing. But what was definitely said by PlayStation is something that was in some documents sent to the UK's Competition and Markets Authority, the CMA.
Mm-hmm.
And in short, Sony is concerned that Microsoft's control of Call of Duty will allow them to impair the versions released on PlayStation. So, quoting from the documents, it says, for example, Microsoft might release a PlayStation version of Call of Duty where bugs and errors emerge only on the game's final level or after later updates. Even if such degradations could be swiftly detected, any remedy would likely come too late, by which time the gaming community would have lost confidence in PlayStation as a go-to venue to play Call of Duty, which is just fucking insane. Like, just the implication is just insane to me that would be a thing Microsoft would be wanting to do.
Well, haven't you picked up big villain energy from your homie Phil Spencer? I mean, this is the sort of thing he might do.
I just
said
if
nobody
Microsoft
ever
wants to make a lot of money from Call of Duty, which is 100% their goal, like they are putting it out on other platforms because, hey, they want to make all that money. Completely sabotaging one platform, firstly, looks so bad on Microsoft's part. Like that shit will be picked up instantly. It won't make players lose confidence in PlayStation. It'll be like, wow, Xbox is playing dirty.
Yeah.
You know,
at no point is a player going, oh man, my PlayStation ports is garbage. I'm going to go over to the people who made this PlayStation.
No, they're like, I'm never playing a Call of Duty again because fuck this. I'm burnt by this, you know? But also to me, and a few people pick this up, they were like, it's interesting that Sony has this concern. Have they done this? Like, Xbox.
MLB The Show. So, I mean,
yeah, and a lot of people are like, wow, MLB The Show last year on Xbox was fucking messy in a way that it wasn't on PlayStation. It was also on Game Pass. So like,
that is hilarious.
Has Sony done this?
Sony just
is this why they
strategy?
Know this is a possibility? Like,
oh, Jim Ryan's like, damn, like picked up our strats.
It's just, I don't understand Sony's don't game know. Here. It's, what are they doing? Like,
look,
Microsoft this week offered them a deal to give Call of Duty, to put Call of Duty on PlayStation Plus, whatever, day one.
That they'll allow that.
Take that fucking deal, because at this rate, this deal's going to go through. There is nowhere in hell this deal's not going through at this point. And if it goes through and Sony's left sitting there being like, damn, we didn't sign the deal to keep Call of Duty on our platform for 10 years, or we didn't sign it to come to PlayStation Plus day one. Like, what the fuck? Jim Ryan will be kicked out. Like, that'll be game over for Jim Ryan.
Yeah.
It's just... So Microsoft obviously released a statement on this, basically reiterating that it guarantees a parity between Xbox and PlayStation on access to Call of Duty. So yeah, I mean, what else are they going to be like? They're going to be like, you're being stupid. Stop it.
Tune in next week for your next update on Sony and Microsoft saga. It's entertaining.
So it's really getting dumb now. It's just so dumb. Anyway. Do you want to tell me what the fuck happened to Paul's hair? You got a shave, he got a haircut.
This is great. You're a gamer. So the title is, I can't get over Paul's hair in Tekken 8, and the strapline is buzzkill.
You're a gamer of kings at the strap. Like, really good.
Hold on. So you put this note in our online doc. It's called, What the Fuck is Paul's Hair Even?
That was me.
I thought that was the actual title of the article. I'm like, damn, you're a gamer, not pulling any punches.
That would have been fun, though. I enjoyed that. That would have been fun.
So as far as I know, this week we got a good boy, Paul Phoenix, who's been a long-time Tekken character. We got a look at him in a gameplay reveal trailer, and man, this dude has aged a lot, and his hair, you know, remember, think of Paul's beautiful hair. It's usually like this straight up Johnny Bravo-esque dead, you know, pointed to, I mean, this is old Paul. I don't know what he's looked like since then. I'm thinking like Tekken 2 and Tekken 3 days.
Midlife crisis, Paul.
Yeah, I don't know what they've done here, man. They've ruined him.
I'm confused. Aren't there certain moves like specifically tied to his hair? Doesn't he like headbutt with his hair?
I mean, he headbutts with his head.
Okay, fair enough. I guess it's not. So it's not like you've lost a hitbox on his head.
Maybe. Look, I don't know. Maybe
he was always very like very like ripped and skinny in a way.
Yeah.
Like very hourglass figure. Now he looks like a trucker.
He's 100%. I don't know.
Like a bruiser. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, yeah, in this gameplay footage, he's fighting like Jin Kazama, and they look like,
damn it, my game.
Like different
playing
characters.
I was on a playing kill. Here we go. Let's just scrub through this quickly. Put your boy Paul over here.
Midlife crisis Paul.
It is midlife crisis Paul, except by midlife, oh my God, they really.
It's awful.
They did him dirty.
Yeah, it's a terrible design. I really don't like it.
I mean,
but he's got the same moveset, it seems.
Yeah,
so.
He's got those good fist punch. But Paul, I've always known as being one for like those big, powerful punches, like long charge up move, but big damage if you can pull it off.
I have
to believe that at some stage they'll drop in a cosmetic or something that gives him like
Paul's hair is back.
Paul's, it's only $10. This is a smart move.
He's in the red gi again, and he's got the hair, and he's lost like 10 kilos. He's good.
It's a good time. So they did him dirty. And I saw Darren, or no, I saw this on Twitter. Someone also pointed out that in Tekken 4, Paul had some pretty bad hair choices as well. So, yeah. Oh, my God. He's got the ponytail rocking over.
My goodness.
That was great. So, yeah, Tekken 8, though, looking real good. Should we move on to the last story for this week?
Exoprimal.
Do you like Monster Hunter?
Is this Monster Hunter?
No. What about instead of Monster Hunter, we call it Dinosaur Hunter, and instead of playing as a hunter, you pilot a huge mech? Is that a
sick? I'm in.
So Exoprimal.
This is more like a Left 4 Dead thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's more like Left 4 Dead. Exoprimal, if you forgot, dinos, is Capcom's upcoming dinosaur hunting thing. Like, I don't know, this game's very futuristic, but the enemy you're fighting is just hordes of dinosaurs in mechs.
Stick.
It got a release date, and it is coming. Oh, what is the release date? It is
July, isn't it?
And it is day one on Game Pass.
July 14th. Yeah.
Which suddenly I'm like, oh, okay, I'm interested in this game now.
That was immediately, as soon as they announced that, I was like, cool, I'll play this. Yeah. Give this a go.
Yeah, this game, I'm pretty sure it's a games as a service title. Like, there'll be microtransactions, and they're going to do a whole lot.
But it's not free to play, right? You still need to buy it.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, you have to buy this game and then still, I don't know, like spend actual money on it. Now that it's on Game Pass, I'm like, huh, that makes it way more lucrative on Xbox and PC.
Yep. I think that's a really, really smart decision by them. Yeah, I'm keen to give it a go.
There will be an open beta test from the 17th to the 19th of March. Oh, this week, this coming weekend. So if you want to give it a bash, see if it's your thing. Look forward to that.
Neat.
Cool. And that is gaming news for this week. Man, what a wild ride it's been from from Paul's hair to a Discord connection via mobile on PlayStation. It's a good time. Cool. Shall we get
off to questions?
Questions.
If you want to send us questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on all our social platforms at Checkpoint Chat. What's on the docket for today?
So I just want to come out and apologize for you probably can't hear it, but I'm pretty sure my Audacity is picking up a very subtle of the chainsaw next door. I don't know why my neighbor has chosen to do that today. And for like the last
half it's probably an hour. Discord's noise suppression blocking.
So
that
I can see Audacity's got a little. I've been trying to mute and unmute throughout the episode, but I do apologize if it's annoying.
It's all good.
In the background.
It's all good. It just adds to the ambiance. It's the Resident Evil 4 theme. You know.
It really is. This is I'm Leon running away right now.
Yeah.
Cool. We've got two questions from a good pal at Jared Brapra on Twitter, who says, "Hey guys, hope y'all are having a good weekend." I mean, mine's full of chainsaws at the moment. It's cool.
Hey.
So question one, thoughts on how The Last of Us will accomplish the rest of part one within the remaining episode or otherwise? I think
they're pretty much there.
Yeah. The pacing has been, it's been a weird thing where I've thought I wouldn't mind more episodes just to flesh out more things, but the pacing's actually been pretty solid. Like they followed the game like to a T in terms of, you know, where the narrative goes, ticked all the boxes. The last episode is coming. Well, by the time you listen to this, it is out. I think they're going to hit it out of the park. I'm very keen to see how they do it because it is a big episode. It is, I won't spoil it for people who haven't played the game, but the big stuff happens in this episode, which, you know, eventually leads to, you know, what happens in The Last of Us part two. So
I agree with you. I think like there are moments like the last episode with David and his whole community, like feels like it could have been a bit more to maybe give more context to what happened. Like if they chose to expand that story beyond what you see in the game, because in the game it is quite rushed. I like that they're sticking very close to the games because you don't want to flesh out characters in a way that makes the motivations of the, you know, quote unquote protagonists feel weird or out of place.
For sure.
At first when I was like halfway through the season, I thought it was only 8 episodes. So I got to a point like episode 5, I was like, what are they doing? Like they're so far away from where they need to be now.
Yeah.
But then just that additional episode made sense because obviously I knew one episode was going to be for Left Behind. So I think it's good. I think this last episode is going to be quite long.
I
suspect it'll be like long, like the first episode was an hour and a half. I suspect something very similar for this last one. And I think that will give them more than enough time to like really like settle on some of the bigger moments. I'm curious because the first game, when they did the ending, was obviously with the assumption that this was it.
This was
the end. And obviously the second game goes back to some of those events and doesn't retcon them, but it adds new perspective that gives, you know, a different look at to like, will they introduce some characters here opposed to waiting for a flashback in the season 2? I think it makes more sense to introduce things here.
Yeah.
Like a little teaser. The sort of like last scene for the season is the flashback that you see in episode 2. So you introduce to this character and know some of the stakes set for the next season.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it would kind of suck if the season doesn't end in the same way that the first game ends, because I think that ending is somewhat perfect.
That ending's real good. I think they'll stick to that. Mm. What did you think of the Left Behind episode?
I liked it a lot.
So you liked, sorry, no, finish.
No. I liked it a lot, and I know some people didn't. That's about it.
So I liked it, but I did prefer how the game balanced. So look, in the show, you've got Ellie who, you know, in modern day, she saves Joel, puts him in a basement. Cool. In the Left Behind DLC, they did this really cool contrast of you see modern day Ellie with past Ellie. modern day Ellie like trying to find medicine to help Joel, and then past Ellie, you know, doing exactly what you saw in that TV episode, you know, her story with Riley. I just would have preferred maybe more modern day context, because in the game, like, a pretty significant, I mean, I don't know, I'm not talking months, but like time passes when Joel's injured. You know, he's been stabbed.
Quite a long time.
And in this time, like, Ellie's looking after him, and it just feels like, oh, hey, Joel's been stabbed. He's got medicine. Okay, he's like fine now. I'm like, I don't know. And
I do remember the game feeling like that. I mean, did you play Left Behind while you were playing the game for the first time?
No. I played it
Played it afterwards. Mm. Okay, yeah, because I always felt like in the original game, when Left Behind didn't exist and you had no context for, you know, because Left Behind, like you said, had those cutscenes where it showed Ellie taking care of Joel, whereas in the main game, it was kind of just like a snap. There was like a scene in winter, boom.
Yeah, and like, then times passed, Joel's still like injured, but stuff really happened, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, Shani did make the comment. She's like, wow, Joel got better real fast. It's like took one shot of penicillin and 2 hours later he's like fucking
going like in the middle of winter. Yeah, which
the
like,
game does the exact same thing.
No, but the thing is like the game does the same thing, but it feels like there's more like in my head I'm like, okay, he's still very weak, but there's been time to recover. Whereas here it's like, oh my god, Joel's just been stabbed, he's got penicillin, he's up and about.
Oh, I don't think he's just been stabbed, because remember when he was stabbed, it wasn't winter.
It wasn't winter, you're right.
Yeah, but wasn't winter.
There's
this
time jump where like you don't see what happens. I feel like
see anything.
It
would
have been cool just,
that's
I mean,
fair.
Look, I love that episode, but it would have been cool to have that contrast of like modern day Ellie in the shopping mall trying to get medicine for Joel versus what was happening in the past.
It would have made that shot less jarring.
Yeah.
Like the whole like, because it was like he was like fucked up, like Ellie's like talking to him, like, you need to, I'm going to go and protect you, blah, blah, blah. And he's like not even compass mentis. And then like 2 hours later, he's killing people. So I get that.
I will say that all that said, they did a good job of, you know, show versus game, because a lot of stuff that happens in the episode straight from the game as well.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Like even like Joel getting the location of Ellie, that's felt like one for one from the game.
Yeah.
Ellie offing a good pal Troy Baker, that's pretty much what happened in the game as well, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
The whole like burning barn at the end.
Even that, yeah, like, that what's quite cool is that people who haven't watched who haven't played the game, like I have a colleague who he started the game but never finished it. I was like, yeah, that restaurant scene, that was a whole boss fight in the original game.
Yeah.
Very cool how they
it's there's one thing in the show that I found strange, because in the game you fight a lot more people than just those two enemies. So I'm like, the whole time I'm like, where the fuck is everyone else? Like, where this thing's burning down.
It's the middle of winter, man. Everyone's just chilling.
Like, but in the game, you obviously kill quite a few people on the way to that sort of confrontation. So I do think they've done a really good job of Neil Druckmann. I read in an interview where he said, you know, they didn't want to have loads of violence in the show because when they wanted to appear, they wanted to have impact.
Yeah.
And I think they've really stuck to that, because this episode was really violent and really hard to watch violence in some cases. So, and I'm very curious to see how that translates to the last episode.
Yeah. Last episode's going to be a heavy hitter. Cool. Question two from @JadBratBra, which is a follow-up from this question. Thoughts on the expectations now on a God of War series if it happens as a result of The Last of Us? I don't know.
Listen, I don't know. I think not a lot. Like, the reason the series works is because of who they chose to lead it. Like, Craig Mazin, who did Chernobyl, is like a phenomenal choice for something like this, because he understands slow burn drama and letting scenes like breathe. And then obviously having someone like Neil Druckmann work with him so closely, Druckmann who directed the games, is a very big part of why this series
works. Wrote the story, well, co-wrote the overall
story. He co-wrote the first one, story, and then directed the first one.
But
I don't know. You know, are they going to get Corey Barlog in for also, the God of War series?
It's just, it's a weird thing, because like while God of War 2018 is like an excellent narrative, it's, I don't know, thematically, it's just different. Like, if you think of The Last of Us, it is, oh no, the world's gone to shit. Let's explore the humans and what they do, you know, when they push to the limits. Whereas God of War, I'm like, okay, you're going to show Kratos, you know, and Atreus on this journey, but I don't know how that translates out of the game.
Whereas God of War is more a game.
Yeah, Last of Us, it's like, it's actually more of a story with gameplay elements, whereas God of War is like, no, this is a game. Like, it's game focused with a really good
story. So no, I have no idea
how it translates. And even then, I do wonder, like, do they just, it's obviously, I assume, going to go straight for the reboot. So cool. It's modern day Kratos. Do they then also, like, pepper in some flashbacks of what he did in the past? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because you need that context.
Yeah, without that context, you'd be like, oh man, this dude's tortured. I don't know why.
I mean, without that context, some of the hardest moments in that game don't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea why they are important.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, for the longest time, people have criticized Naughty Dog's games because they're like, oh, if I'd want to watch a movie, I'd go watch a movie. You know, they feel like interactive films in a sense, you know, very, very, very directed and pointed. You do this when you do that, you know. And so translating those to a TV series turns out, I wouldn't say easy, but definitely easier to adapt than something like they're doing a fucking Twisted Metal TV series. What the hell is that going to be? You know,
They're doing a Gran Turismo movie. Okay, just calm down here.
They're doing a Horizon Zero Dawn series.
I mean, like, weirdly, Horizon. Look, I agree with you. I'm also like, no, but I can see Horizon. Okay, I might be shot for this, but I can see Horizon being a better series in God of War because I'm like, there's, I don't know, it feels like there's more story to dive into there. It's not just Aloy. It's like, it's Aloy in this huge, you know, futuristic world, whereas God of War 2018 is like, it's a smaller cast. It's just Kratos, Atreus, and like monsters and like some supporting characters. But I don't know. I guess we'll see.
I think the thing both of them will struggle with is making... You know, The Last of Us is apocalyptic, so a lot of it is more relatable visually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, Horizon and God of War, how do you prevent them from looking cheap? How do you prevent them from just looking weird?
Just
and
get your colleague who shaved his head to be Kratos, and you're halfway there, man.
I mean, it's. I feel like The Lord of the Rings struggled with this, and Amazon threw tons of
so
fucking
much
money at
Mola,
that. Like,
yeah.
God of War, Game of Thrones struggles with this every now and then. Mm. Like, it has to scale back a lot of the things. Like, how are you going to replicate some of the shit that happens in God of War in Horizon without it look? How are you going to do Horizon at all? Like,
robot monsters,
without it looking
robot
so
dinosaurs,
weird?
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
I think it's a poor choice.
We'll see. We will see. Cool. And then last quick fire question from good pal Chilo ZA.
Oh, you God.
He asks, what food dish best describes your personality? Meaning, what dish would you be?
So not the dish I like to eat, the dish that describes my personality.
I mean, if I'm not a Portuguese steak, I don't want to be a dish at all.
Oh my God. Why? What in your personality encompasses being a Portuguese steak?
I mean... I'm medium rare. I'm just delicious.
What does that mean?
But I come with a bit of crunch, you know, the chips that come with.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And if you were to stab me, aka the egg, I'll bleed. There we go.
The egg is on top, so
the
it's
egg's
your
on
heart,
top,
you know,
yeah.
Before it gets
to
the
real egg,
flesh.
The egg is my heart.
Fuck, I don't know.
You could really go into the question of like, what is a good South African / Portuguese dish? You know, what combines the best of your, you know, both of your heritages together? Maybe I'm the chicken prager roll from The Leopard, because that's a South African made dish with it's a South African spin on a Portuguese specialty. Mm. And it's delicious, and I'm quite tasty. I'm a snack.
I think if I had to choose a dish that I could deconstruct that could be me, I'd say like a like a curry, like a buttered chicken, because it's got the white rice, which is just like bland but dependable. You know what I mean?
It's reliable.
And then you've got a buttery sauce, which is spicy but also very welcoming. So it's for everyone. It's a crowd pleaser. But it's got that spice, a little bit of spice here and there. And then chicken is just a good, dependable protein, just like me.
you're a dependable dish, is what you're telling
me. I'm a dependable protein.
Nice.
Yeah. I want to hear what Cello's suggestion is, because this is a weird question.
I'm ready. Tell us what
Gatsby.
The Gatsby, nice. And that's it. That's questions. Don't think we have anything anywhere else.
If you want to send us a question like all of these fine folks and Cello, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can find us on our social channels at Checkpoint Chat. And that has been episode 217 of this fine podcast. As always, we thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for your questions, your support, and I hope you have a lovely week ahead. Delicious one. It's 1 week closer to Resident Evil 4.
Can't wait.
Have a good one. We will see you. Not next week, actually. Matthew's abandoning us, so the week after, or unless we come up with something, but take it as the week after for now. But we'll make a plan. We'll have a bumper episode to catch up on all the shit we've been playing. So yeah. Have a great one. Enjoy the season finale of The Last of Us. Tell us what you think. And we will see you next time here on Checkpoint Chat.
Cool.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.